Let us pray. Gracious God, seeker of those who are lost, draw us back to you this morning. Restore us to our inheritance as your children, that we may proclaim your reconciling love to all the world. Amen. We love this parable. For Christians, the image of God as a loving parent welcoming us home is truly wonderful. It's a story of faith to which we can relate. We know that we think and then we act selfishly. We turn our back on God. We find ourselves at the end of the road, hungry and lost. And then we turn for home. And we find that God is already with us. God has been waiting for us. God is ready to welcome us. We who were hungry are fed. We who were lost are found. We who were without a home find a party being thrown for us. This turning for home also captures the spirituality of the season of Lent. In sin, we turn away from God, and when we come to ourselves, as the Gospel puts it, we turn back to God. We find when we come to ourselves that God has been with us all along. We know from experience that our most authentic encounter with ourselves is also an encounter with God's love. And the depth of our remorse is correlated with the height of our joy at being forgiven. During Lent, this turning will be part of what prepares us for the mysteries of the Easter story. Such preparation will never be complete, but we will be more ready for the hard truths to which the crucified Jesus calls us. And we will be more ready for the wonder of God's love defeating the power of death when Jesus is raised. We will be most ready, however, if we read a parable like this one slowly, not making assumptions about what it means. Parables can be a wonderful way for God to surprise us with new insights about ourselves and others. So let's open up to the work of this parable for this new day. Jesus told the parable of the man with two sons to his own religious leaders. It is unlikely that they heard the story as we hear it, after 2,000 years of joy at God's merciful welcome. That history is a gift, but it changes the way we hear the story. Every good storyteller gives their audience someone with whom to identify. And so they, like us, would have been listening for their person in this story. Jesus told the younger son's story first. The younger son behaved shamefully. He dishonored the family's connection to the land, asking for his share of the farm in cash. He disrespected his father by asking for an inheritance while his father was still alive. He left his community and then spent all the money outside his community, so not even people in his community benefited from all his spending. He was living with pigs and sharing their food when he decided to turn for home. Then Jesus told the father's story, waiting at the gate, welcoming his child home, celebrating his return. A father who did nothing to maintain his own dignity or hold his son to account. By then, I imagine, the people listening to Jesus were really hoping that the third character in the story would be someone they could like, someone with whom they could identify. Perhaps the older son would be better. He worked faithfully for his father, never leaving, doing the extra work that his brother would have done, plus the work that his father didn't do while he was busy waiting at the gate. But then we get to the end of the story and the older son is consumed with resentment and complaining about not being able to have a party with his friends. So having not found a character with whom to identify, the listener is drawn back to the beginning of the story. And we find that each of the sons is unlikable and selfish in their own way. Each of them is faced with a moment, a turning point. One thinks he's not worthy, but seeks his father's mercy. We hope that he felt overwhelmed with joy at the ring, the sandals, the robe, and the fatted calf. It wasn't what he asked for. He just asked for shelter and food and work. The other son feels neglected. Maybe he was reminded of those stories from the Hebrew scriptures where the older sibling gets left out, like Ishmael and Esau and Leah. In those stories, the younger sibling is the favourite and inherits what properly belongs to the older. In our parable, the older son has carried all the responsibility, but he feels rejected. And it's only when he complains to his father that he's even invited to the party. Each of the sons has something to overcome in order to turn for home. The younger son has to overcome his shame, realizing that while he has done many bad things, he is not bad. Instead, he remembers that there is a place where he is known and loved, and he holds a thread of hope that there is still a relationship to return to. The older son has to overcome his pride, letting go of the acknowledgement to which he feels entitled. He has to choose relationships over everything else in his life. In this parable, we glimpse the lavish grace of God. But we should be careful not to be too quick to say that the Father is God. Perhaps we don't know enough about the assumptions of the scribes and Pharisees to whom Jesus was speaking and the lessons they needed to learn. But if the Father is God, I'm confused by his not communicating love to his older son in a way that he could understand. It's the part of the parable that reminds me of its mysterious depths and reminds me not to make assumptions about what it all means. In the meantime, there is much for us to learn from each of the young men in this parable. We seek the courage to return to God with the truth of our hearts, as the younger son returned to his father. With him we confess our sins, emptying ourselves of all but our longing to be restored to this relationship. With him we accept that we are known and loved, and there is a relationship to which to return. Trusting in God's love for us, we are confident of God's compassion and God's forgiveness. The parable ends with the older brother on the threshold, needing to choose what he will do next. Perhaps he will forgive his brother, and in the restored relationship, he will find a loving way in which to hold him to account for what he's done to the family. Perhaps he will learn that God's justice will be found in the depths of God's love. Perhaps he will fling his hands in the air, give up his own inheritance, and leave. The story is open. We stand with him on this same threshold, aware of our own brokenness and the brokenness of others. We confess our sins, emptying ourselves of all but our longing to be restored to relationship with God and with one another. We accept that we are known and loved. And trusting in God's love for us, we are confident of God's compassion and God's forgiveness. Friends, we are called to turn for home, whether from the fields where we have been working faithfully or from the pig pen where we find ourselves hungry. We are called to return to God in humility and to discover the freedom and the joy of the forgiveness that God offers to us and to others. May it be so. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect.